Welcome to the teleconference of the results of Grupo Sura during the first quarter 2017. My name is Gloria, and I'll be your operator for today's call. Right now, all the attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session. For those that are in the session in English and those that are connected only by web, please send us your questions through the webcast. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being taped. Right now, let's give the floor to Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, Manager of Investor Relations of Grupo Sura. Good morning. Thank you for connecting to the teleconference of the first quarter of 2017 Grupo Sura. I'd like to thank you for this time and to tell you that this will be taped and it will be also available on our webpage. Today from Grupo Sura, we have our CEO, David Bojanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, CFO of Grupo Sura, Tatiana Orozco, Chief of Corporate Affairs, Juan Fernando Uribe, CFO of Sura, and with our affiliates, we have Andres Pernal, CFO of Sura Asset Management, Juan Fernando Uribe, CFO of Sura Americana, and also the Manager of Corporate Managers. Now, let's listen to our President and CEO, Mr. David Bojanini. Good morning. Welcome to you all. I'd like to thank you for the time you have taken to join us in this teleconference. Now, let's listen to the main events of the first quarter of 2017. Please move to slide 5 of the presentation. Here you can see the consolidated financial situation of Grupo Sura. The assets of the company during the first quarter climbed to 62.6 billion pesos, up 1.2%. I'd like to highlight with these assets the following items. The investments, which is the most important item, were 26.8 million, up 2.5%. In investments, you have the reserves of the insurance companies, also the reserves of the pension funds of Sura Asset Management. It also involves the investment in the corporation, which 17.8 billion pesos, decreasing 1.7%. This decrease is basically because of the impact of the dividends decreed during the shareholders assembly held in March. There are other assets like those of accounts receivable, which grew 2.5%. And that growth of 2.5% mainly is explained by the dividends declared in the assemblies. Well, also we have intangible assets, mercantile credit also, as you can see. And the cash, which is almost 3 billion pesos, is an item that has the most growth of 45%. And it's because it includes the results of the issue made of local bonds of Grupo Sura, 550,000 million pesos, which was made recently. So that's what increased this item of cash. Moving on, please, to slide 6. You can see the liabilities of the company, which rise to 42.4 billion pesos. I'm sorry, to 43.5 billion pesos. 43.5 billion, up 2.7%. In these liabilities, you can see technical reserves of insurance of 26.7 billion, up 2.9%. Also, you can see growth in the certificates issued of 7%, and this has to do, again, with the bond that was issued recently. The financial liabilities, which have a decrease of 7.8%. This is basically because when we managed the derivatives in Chile with Sura Asset Management, we are reclassifying this in a new manner. So that's why in the prior slides, you can see a decrease of 55%, and it's because there we have assets and liabilities of the derivatives of Chile. And also it shows the financial liabilities that dropped 7.8%. Equity, which reached 25 billion pesos, shows a slight decrease of 1.2%. Why? Mainly because of the dividends to be paid in the assembly, as well as the increase of the dividend guaranteed of the preferential shares, which was a decision made by the assembly as well. That adds up to a liability and has an effect on the equity that's quite slight, as you can see. Something subsequent to the first quarter was the payment of dividends, which is not reflected here. But for your information, 85% of this payment of dividend was made in preferential shares, while 15% in cash. And this did not have a negative impact since April on the price of the share, which, of course, has benefited favorably the shareholders who've seen an appraisal of the shares they received. Moving on to slide 7, you see the different classifications of the debt. The financial debt of Grupo Sura Individual reached 5.1 billion pesos, but this excludes the derivatives or the preferential dividends. We also have, through currencies, that the debt is at 68.9% in Colombian pesos and the rest in dollars. If we look at this per type of debt, in bonds, we have 62% of the consolidated debt. In banks and leasing, 30.4%. In derivatives, 1.8%. In preferential dividends, 4.3%. And repo operations, 1.5%. The consolidated debt of Grupo Sura is 10.1 billion pesos, up 3.9%. Per companies, Grupo Sura and other subsidiaries are 57% of the debt, Sura Asset Management 30.4% of the debt, and Sura Americana is 12.5% of the debt. Here you can't see the recent issue made by Sura Asset Management of bonds in dollars, which was used mainly to replace other types of debts and to make a restructure of its debt, which won't have an effect and will not increase its debt. Moving on to slide 8, we see the integral income statement. In revenues, total revenues were 5 billion pesos, which have a variation of 26.7%, positive. And you can highlight the retained premiums of 2.8 billion pesos, up 42%. Obviously, this shows the effect of incorporating RSA, which was acquired last year. Services rendered 643,000 million pesos. And this has to do with healthcare. Revenues from investments, 609,000 million pesos, up 48.3%. This quarter was good for the yield of our investments, which has a very positive impact on the results. Revenues from commissions, 545,000 million pesos, up 3.7%. Equity method of related companies, 252,000 million pesos, up 36.8%. And the difference in the exchange difference net, which are almost 59,000 million pesos, has a decrease of 70.6%. So if we summarize this, the biggest impact of revenues is from the premiums after incorporating these insurance companies, but when it comes to revenues from investments, you can see a good increase, and the exchange difference has a negative impact compared to that first quarter that we had last year. Total expenses reached 4.5 billion pesos with a growth of 35.5%. And here you can highlight as well, on the one hand, 1.5 million pesos in retained losses, which grew 54.4%. And here you can see the effects of RSA. Also, we have administrative expenses for 879,000 million pesos, up 27.4%. This also has to do with the incorporation of RSA. Costs from services rendered and healthcare, 638,000 million, up 15.1%. The adjustment of reserves is 538,000 million pesos, and it decreased 2.6%. Intermediary fees or commissions, 440,000 million pesos, up 114%. And this has to do with several of the insurance programs of RSA. Interest, 152,000 million, up 59.3% because there is an increase of the debt because of the acquisition made. So you reached a profit of 405,000 million pesos, which decreased 19.9%. If we move on to slide 9, you can see a better explanation of the profits. These profits, without the exchange effects and non-recurrent effects, could have increased 28%. So here you can see what hurt our results. We start with a net profit in the first quarter of 2017 of 506,000 million pesos, in which you can see a significant, last year, significant change in the exchange rate. And that change, those profits of last year, would have been 367,000 million pesos. Well, but again, here we're adding to these profits 44,000 million pesos plus of Sudamericana plus those with those shown in last year, which grew, and those of Suda Asset Management, which increased 38,000 million pesos. And here you can also see that the exchange rate difference had an impact that's negative compared to the first quarter of last year. The equity method, which are the companies, Grupo Argos, Grupo Nutresa, and Grupo Bancolombia, added 54,000 million pesos to this during this quarter, which is also something positive. Administration expenses increased 26,000 million pesos interest 20,000 million pesos more, and other expenses almost 19,000 million for a net profit of 405,000 million pesos. If we don't keep in mind the impacts of the non-recurrent events, which is the exchange rate and a provision made of 37,000 million pesos for a process, our profit would have grown 28%. Let's move on, please, to slide 10, which shows the price of the share. Here you can see that at March 31st, ordinary common share reached 39,000 million pesos and the preferential 38,000 million. During the first quarter last year, it decreased to 2.1% and the preferential dropped 2.6%, while the coal cap increased 2.2%. However, if we look at the variations regarding December 31st, 2016, the ordinary common share grew 2.3%, preferential share grew 3.2%, while the coal cap in this first quarter of the year grew only 1%. Also, we'd like to highlight on this slide that the international funds are 855, own 21.8% of total shares of the company. Moving on to slide 11, you can see the distribution of our investments portfolio, which shows at March a figure of 24.5 billion pesos, keeping in mind that Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutreso are at market prices, while Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management are at value in books. So Sudamericana represents 13% of our portfolio, Suda Asset Management 26.1%, Bancolombia 25.3%, Grupo Argos 19%, and Grupo Nutresa 16.1%. This does not keep in mind the recent acquisition made subsequent to the end of the quarter of the share that IFC had in Suda Asset Management, which would lead us to have a share in this company of 83.6%. This would increase in this chart the percentage of share of Suda Asset Management in our investments portfolio. Moving on to slide 13, you can see the figures of Sudamericana. First, I'd like to shed light on the fact that of some highlights of this company. First of all, with the acquisition of RSA, the company already has a regional platform in 9 countries, and 45% of the premiums issued by Sudamericana are made in countries outside of Colombia. So we're talking about 45% of the premiums are issued outside of Colombia, and as you can see, in the circle on the right hand, on the bottom right, you can see where the premiums are in the percentages in the different countries. The company has had a positive progress integrating the operations it acquired from RSA, and this has complemented the sound trend of the operation seen in Colombia, Central America, and the Caribbean. Also, as you can see on the upper right-hand side, the company has a multi-solution and multi-channel portfolio, where the non-life segment represents 60% of the premiums and life 40%. Likewise, during this quarter, the organic growth in premiums is 11.5%, keeping its leadership both in life and in general, in Colombia. The loss ratio of non-life had a good performance during this quarter, dropping from 58.6 to 52.9%. And this is mainly driven by the better results in automobiles. Likewise, I'd like to highlight the positive performance in the improvement of the efficiency in the expenses of the life segment, which the indicator drops from 19 to 15.5% in the first quarter of 2017. So the net profit of Suramericana reached 145,000 million pesos, up 44.7%. To this, we have an adjusted return of investment that does not keep in mind the amortization of intangibles of 17.3%. Move on, please, to slide 14. Here we see the income statement of Suramericana, which displays total revenues of 3.2 billion pesos, up 53.4%. In these revenues, you obviously can see the premiums issued with also because of the acquisition of RSA. You can see these results. We see services provided of 603,000 million, up 16.8%. Revenues from investments, 302,000 million, up 31.1%. Revenues from commissions, 87,000 million, up 115%. And you can say that these are the main items. And in expenses, we have 3.08 billion pesos, up 56.1%. So you can highlight as well the retained losses of 1.2 billion, up 54.6. The adjustments of reserves, which is a bit moderate, of 20,000 million pesos, which dropped almost 45%. Costs for services rendered, which is health, 600,000, increasing 15.9%. Administrative expenses, 585,000 million, 64.2% up. Commissions and fees, 536,000 million pesos, up 104%. Many of these figures, or most of them, are affected by the acquisition of RSA. And in these commissions and fees, we include the commissions of the intermediation of several of the businesses acquired from RSA. This gives us a profit of 145,000 million pesos, up 17.3%. In slide 15, you can see segments. Here we have life, the performance of this segment during this first quarter. If we start with a profit of 140,000 million pesos in the life segment, and we add to it revenues from investments, of 3.6%, or 3,000 million pesos, retained premiums for 135,000 million more than the first quarter of last year, reserves and losses for 107,000 million, operating expenses, 21,000 million pesos, and others, which add up to 31,000 million pesos. We have a net profit of 174,000 million pesos, meaning 34,000 million pesos more. The life segment consists of the life insurances companies in Colombia, also workers' compensation in El Salvador and the companies in Chile. In the different solutions, you can see how they all grow practically two-digit and double digits, especially, for instance, the retained premiums. You can see the growth of the life, 54.3%, also of health, 242,000 million pesos, up 15.3%. And in loss ratios, we moved from 61.4 to 63.9. Here's a big impact on the provisional, which have a loss ratio of 114%, but it's basically reserves that we make of this product to keep in mind future long-term effects. Really, here's a big impact when it comes to the increased reserves. And in general, the loss ratio has good performance in the rest of the solutions. Okay, now let's move on, please, to slide 16, where you can see the non-life segment. This gathers general insurance of Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, El Salvador, Mexico, Panama, Dominican Republic, and Uruguay. Likewise, if we compare the first quarter of last year with this one, which back then displayed a loss of 8,000 million pesos back then, revenues for investment is 71,000 million pesos more, as well as the retained premium, 776,000 million pesos more. Losses and reserves are minus 369,000 million. Operating expenses also minus 477,000 million pesos, more than the first quarter last year. Here you can see the entire impact of the acquisition of RSA. And this finally reaches a profit of 29,126,000 million pesos above that of the year before. This profit, if we didn't keep in mind the amortizations and the deferred taxes, the profit would have been close to 45,000 million pesos. So really there's a good result in the different solutions. You can see the growths all impacted, of course, after acquiring RSA, except the SOAT, which is our mandatory car insurance. And also in the loss ratio, we have a significant improvement, moving from 58.6 to 52.9, having a significant impact on the solution of automobiles, almost from 70 to 64.4%. Moving on to slide 17, you can see the figures of health. And basically, this is a EPS SUDA, which during the first quarter of last year had a profit of 558,000 million. But here, we have a lower yield of the investments. As you can see, the revenues from services provided are 111,000 million pesos more, and the cost of the services provided subtract 101,000 million more, operating expenses 2,915,000 million more, to finally give us a net of the profit of the first quarter of 9,426,000 million pesos. Here you can see that the loss ratio increased 1% from 92.8 to 93.8. But the control of administrative expenses has allowed us to have a significant improvement in the profit, because these expenses dropped from 11.5 to 10.3%. So basically, these are the figures of health. So please move on to slide 19 to talk about Suda Asset Management. We have this slide that shows the highlights. Firstly, we have assets under management, which reached 356.1 billion pesos at the end of the quarter. Here we can see as well that these AUMs have grown in pesos significantly throughout the recent years. I'd also like to shed light on the fact that when it comes to voluntary funds, the growth has been of 21% since December to this date. Instead, mandatory, we've had a growth throughout the year of 12% with annual rates. Also, I'd like to mention that there are 19.2 million customers in voluntary. We've had 13.7% more customers, and in mandatory, 7.8%. The rate of quotas in mandatory has increased 25 basic points. The company is still number one in mandatory pensions in the region with a market share of 23.3%. The net profit obtained in the quarter was 173,000 million pesos, up 29.8%. I'd like to mention also that the net profit of the mandatory section increased 7.8% because when it comes to the ratio of revenues and the reserves was much better than what we saw in the first quarter last year of 74,000 million pesos. Also, I'd like to show you here that when it comes to voluntary, the voluntary segment, the net flow, which are revenues minus withdrawals, grew 44%, and the ratio of the cost income improved 251 basic points. So with this result of 173,000 million pesos, the adjusted ROI corresponds to one that excludes the intangibles, and the non-recurrent events reached 8.7%. I'd also like to show you, as I told you before, that this company made a successful issue of bonds in April. International bonds were issued for 550,000 million pesos to replace other liabilities and improve the maturity profile and the cost of the debt. These bonds were issued at a rate of 4.37% and there was an eightfold demand of the figure issued. On slide 20, you can see the income statement of Suda Asset Management. And you can see here total revenues of 1.5 billion pesos, up 5%. Here you can see retained premiums for 613,000 million, dropping 12.4%. The premiums at Suda Asset Management are basically those of annuities. And with the situation of Peru, of Law 95, the annuities have been decreased, and this has hurt as well the growth of retained premiums primarily. Revenues from commissions, 457,000 million pesos. Here you can see that there's a decrease of 5.6% in Colombian pesos. However, if we take it in local currencies, we're talking about a growth of 5.6%. So really the activity and commissions in each country has performed positively, as we'll see ahead. Revenues from investments, 387,000 million pesos, up almost 90%. And this is the yield of the reserve mainly, which has had a very good performance for the company. The equity method of related companies, especially Protección, 40,000 million pesos, up 47.1%. And exchange difference are 6,395 million, down 56.6% compared to the year before. In expenses, which are 1.2 billion pesos, you can highlight retained losses, 286,000 million pesos, up 21.8%. Adjustment of reserves, 518,000 million, increasing 0.5%. The lower sales of annuities have this effect. Administrative expenses, 330,000 million pesos, which dropped 9.9%. What I told you before about the improvement of the efficiency of this company. Interest, 45,000 million pesos, up 25.3%, and other expenses, 62,000 million pesos, dropping 15.1%. So the net profit, as I told you, is 173,000 million pesos, growing 28.3%. In slide 21, you can see the results of the mandatory segment per country. Here you can see assets under management, which are 315 billion pesos, with an increase in pesos of 8.2% and in local currencies of 11.7%. Practically, or in all of the countries, we see growth with our assets under management in the mandatory segment. You can highlight the growth in Colombia and in Uruguay mainly. In number of affiliates, we have 17.2 million affiliates, growing 7.8%. And in every country, you can see an increase in affiliates, but mainly in Mexico, you can see the highest growth of 7.4%. And because of the good results of the different funds, we were granted a significant number of affiliates. Looking at the graph of the base salary, you can see for the commissions in most of the countries except Mexico, you can see a growth of 0.1% in pesos and a 3.7% in local currencies. Also, you can highlight the growth of Uruguay and in Colombia of 7.8%. and El Salvador of almost 7%. And in commissions, the commission rate, you really don't see significant variations here. Moving on to slide 22, moving on with mandatory segment, we have revenues per commissions. And if we look at this in Colombian pesos, we're talking about 411,000 million pesos, decreasing 7.2%. But if we look at it in local currencies, it grew 3.8%. And here you can highlight the growth of the commissions of Uruguay and of Mexico, 7.8%. The yield of the reserve displays a value of 80,000.4 million pesos, increasing almost 1,119%. You can although in all the countries, it's doing well. Chile did very much better in operating expenses, 189,000 million pesos,
decreasing 2.1% in pesos. In local currencies, it's growing 10.6%. But as you can see, there's a significant control of expenses in most of the countries. And the net profit is 261,000 million pesos total, which grew 21.5% in pesos and 33% in local currencies, displaying good results mainly in Chile, which grew 57.9%, in Mexico it grew 27.9%, and in Colombia, which grew 47.5%. Move on, please, to slide 21. And here we can see figures of the voluntary segment. First, the assets under management show a value of 30.3 billion pesos, up 15.4% in pesos and up 21.1% in local currencies. In general, all the countries display growths with AUMs. And I'd like to highlight Uruguay and Peru, which are beginning this activity, and that's why they have big growths. But also, look at Mexico with 23.8 and Colombia with 16.5. Number of clients total, we have a growth of 13.7%. And as you can see, all of the countries are growing. Net flow, I think that this is one of the most important measures with voluntary AUMs, and you can see of 1.08 billion pesos growing 43.9% in pesos and 49.1% in local currencies. You can see a significant growth in this net flow in all the countries. In Peru, there's a decrease mainly because last year we made a significant purchase of the accounts receivable from a broker, and this led to the decrease of this net flow compared to this year. But as we saw that with AUMs, Peru is growing quite well. And yields of the voluntary funds also are very, very positive, 578,000 million pesos, up 85.4% in pesos. Here you can highlight the growth of Chile with 322,000 million pesos. Moving on, please, to slide 24. Here we see also main figures of the voluntary segment. Revenues from commissions reached 46,000 million pesos, up 14%. All the countries, as you can see, have positive growths. Net premiums with savings, which is unit-linked, especially in Chile, are 255,000 million pesos, also showing good growth of 18.8%. Operating expenses, 72,476,000 million, up 4.5% in pesos. And here, these operating expenses have displayed significant growth in all of the countries where we operate, especially promoting the voluntary segment. And we'll be observing this segment because you can see main investments for the growth of this segment. Net profit, the voluntary segment, shows a loss of 3,576 million pesos, which is above what was displayed in the first quarter last year of 55.2%. And this is given the investments made to continue growing and increasing or expanding this segment. Lastly, in slide 25, we have the insurance segment, mainly the annuities, which show net premiums of 357,000 million pesos, which decreased 26.2%, mainly because of what I talked about, Peru, and because in countries like Chile, where sell this product as well, we've been a bit more conservative with the rates that are offered in of this product. The reserves also grew, have a lower growth of 314,000 million pesos, decreasing the adjustment of the reserves of 25.8% because of the lower sales, obviously. The retained losses, which are really the payments of the reserves, add up to a growth of 6.9%. And the net profit of this product is 17,612,000 million pesos, decreasing 52%. So with this, ladies and gentlemen, I end my presentation, and we can begin then the Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we'll begin the Q&A session. We'll begin receiving the questions orally in the Spanish session. For those in English or those that are only connected on the web, please send your questions in writing through the platform. Later we'll read it and answer these questions. For those online in Spanish, please, if you have a question, press star followed by 1 on your phone. If you want to remove your question, just press number or pound. Remember, if you have a question, please press star 1. Here we have Maria Alejandra from Porvenir with a question. Good morning, and thank you for this teleconference. I have a question related to the provision, the non-recurrent provisions, and with the DIAN. I don't know, could you, maybe I didn't understand well, but could you please tell us what was the amount of this reserve, and do you think that this will reverse at any given time? Okay, this has to do with an interpretation that the DIAN has regarding the deductibility of the expenses of holding companies, with which we entirely disagree because they don't allow us to reduce or deduct several expenses. However, the fact that we decided to conciliate a situation that we had with the DIAN within prior years doesn't mean at all that we will give in to this. We've been working on this last year with the tax reform. There were some articles in favor of the holding companies. However, the interpretation of the DIAN of prior years led for us to make a very big payment, and with some advantages that we had back then, we could reduce it to 37,000 million pesos. And now looking at this at a lower amount, we wanted to conciliate. We're talking about what years? We're talking about 2011. From 2009 to 2013. Of course, this does not mean that we won't stop fighting for the deductibility of the expenses of the holding, but we did see an opportunity to make an arrangement, a conciliation, and this could lead for us to make a lower payment. So that's what explains the DIAN, those 37,000 million pesos of the reserve made, and this conciliates from 2009 to 2013. So this means 37,000 million pesos are held now for reserve? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We have Catherine Ortiz from Corredores with a question. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My first question is related to taxes. It's been said in prior teleconferences that the effective rate of the taxes should be normalized and that it's benefited because of the expenses of acquisitions of RSA mainly. However, this quarter, again, we have a very low rate compared to Grupo Sura's history. So I'd like to know, when do you really see a normalization of this effective tax rate? And that's my first question. And my second question relates to El Salvador. We are aware in the news that of everything that's happening there with bonds and their debt. Do you think that for the pensions and insurance operations, would it hurt you because of these non-payments or the delays of payments of the El Salvador government? Thank you. Let's begin with El Salvador. Indeed, El Salvador is experiencing a critical situation in its fiscal aspects, and it has had delayed payments. This year, I understand the payments were made, but obviously this has created a risk for our company, mainly for the affiliates of the funds. Because if the government has a default of paying these interests, this would hurt our pension funds. So in that sense, and obviously this hurts the reserves of the insurance. So we made a political, we see that there's an agreement between the government and the opposition to reduce the tax and to be able to have the resources to pay the interest. We hope that this will prevail because it could hurt us, mainly our affiliates. There's been a lot of pressure from the affiliates themselves towards the government to meet its obligations. However, the country situation fiscally is critical, and we're really watching this closely. And we hope it doesn't have an impact again. We're following this subject matter very closely. Ricardo Jaramillo will respond to you about the taxes. Catherine, when we look at taxes at Grupo Sura, we have to keep in mind several points of view. First, the composition of a current and a deferred tax. The deferred tax also adjusts depending of what happens in our assets and liabilities. Also remember, it gathers the consolidation of the businesses, not only of Grupo Sura, but also of Sura Asset Management and Sura Americana. And also, we have the payment through the presumptive income. So really, with regards to RSA, clearly you can see in Sura Americana, the taxes are affected, but when we look at our final tax figure, we have to look at it closer, keeping in mind if it's a current deferred tax, the assets and liabilities, what's taxable and not presumptive enough. And however, we can explain to you alone what was used to calculate this tax. That would be perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you. We have Fanny Posero from Credit Corp Capital. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question is to understand the decrease of reserves. Generally, I see a decrease of 2 points year by year.
and 44.9% in Suramericana. I'd like to understand how this compares with the quick growth you've had in premiums. Well, firstly, we have to separate this. When it comes to Sura Asset Management, the reserves obviously dropped, and the major reserves we have in the insurance companies is when you have annuities. So the decrease of reserves in Sura Asset Management is significant because the sales of annuities have been hurt mainly because of the new law of Peru and because of what I told you before, that we've been careful with the rates that guarantee, especially those in Chile. So that shows a significant reduction of that figure. And Juan Fernando Uribe will talk about Suramericana. When it comes to Suramericana, technical reserves show a growth in the quarter of 2.4%, which shows closely the growth that we've been having in the production of our business. So on the liability, you can see that growth of our businesses in the different countries. We don't have any decreases. Yes? My really has to do with the adjustments of the reserves on the income statement as well. Give us a minute, please. We're reviewing our figures here. Thank you so much. I'll wait. The results of Grupo Sura clearly show the impact of the annuities of Sura Asset Management. When it comes to Suramericana, there's an adjustment of 20,000 million pesos, which is almost 45% lower than last year. Well, partly this is explained that the big growth of the premiums of Sura Insurance is in non-life because non-life products do not generate so much reserves. And also we have a seasonability that has to do with this. In December, generally in these non-life production, we have a renewal of the policies in the corporate sector, which gives us a good amount of reserves. But in the first quarter, we don't have this, and therefore, that's why we see that decrease of reserve. It has to do with seasonability with the non-life products, because most of the renewals are made at the end of the year. And that's where the adjustments of the reserves are higher. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you so much for your answer. Thank you. We have Joanna Catrón with a question. Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to make our questions. Following up Sura Asset Management and Suramericana, I'd like to ask you more something related to looking forward. We already know what's happening in Peru when it comes to annuities and the reasons, but I'd like to know a bit more, what is your expectation on the performance of that business this year? And also the business of volunteers, which is just beginning. Why am I asking this? Because initially, I imagined that you had a business planned with the annuities, and you made an investment in reserves that was significant in the last 2 years for that business both in Peru and Chile. But obviously, to go to take a step back is something expensive and commercially that hurts. So I'd like to know how much this is hurting the plans for this year, but also for your expansion for next year. And I'd like to ask also, what is your plan to grow with the voluntary segment, which you're beginning right now in Uruguay, and what is your outlook there? Could you give us like an indicator of your market share that you wish to reach? Andres Bernal will reply. Good morning, Joanna. Let me begin talking about Peru. As you can remember, the insurance company was purchased in 2013, and basically it covered annuities. Therefore, the task there showed very good performance. With what Dr. Bohanini told you with the new law that was enacted in Peru, in which anybody that retires can take away most of the money of that fund, that of course started to decrease our annuity sales. And initially, everybody took away the resources, and that significantly hurt the industry in general, dropping premiums more than 60%. Today, it's at 40%. Accounting-wise, what we recorded when we sell an annuity is the investment and the liabilities and the reserves. So we can see that we have decrease of reserves. For practical effects, it doesn't really show a big impact looking forward, but the company has reduced its production, and of course the financial results show that they're hurt because of these lower sales of annuities. So what are we doing? We are reinforcing the voluntary segment in Peru. Last year we created our own SAP through a broker that we purchased. And we've been making very significant businesses. We're small there still, but it's gaining momentum there. And I'd say that in the last 12 months, a lot of people are investing in our funds and with our broker and our pension fund. When it comes to Uruguay, we also have a broker there. It's called AFISA. Recently, we participated in a project in which a company owned by the state issued shares in the stock market. It was a great, successful project. With this, we acquired more than 4,000 new customers, and we have more than 200% of growth in our assets. While we have growths of two digits, we are sure that this is a winning strategy. Obviously, we have to invest heavily in offices and all, but I'd say that the voluntary segment, looking forward, will have a good commercial capability. Andres, could you tell us more? What's your business plan? What's your intention in terms of market share, or where you are today and where you want to be in the future? Well, in Peru, our market share is small. We are at 2%. The strategy there is to make a double-digit growth, expectations of over 20% annual. Also, we've been expanding there, so I think it's possible in Uruguay. Our increases are great. It's a market that's just beginning. We're small there, but we're sure that with the projects that we are undergoing, we will will be among the top five in the next 3 years. We have a very strong team there, and we expect that with the new products we're launching there, we'll have a better position. To say that we'll grow 100, 200% is not very relevant since we're so small there still. Understood. Thank you so much for your answers. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Carmen Gomez of Grupo Sura, we will have a person that will read the questions written but through the webcast. We have two questions. One from Juan Baitet from HIM, and he's asking the transactions of the purchase of Sura Asset Management and IFC. Well, with regards to that, I'd like to mention that when we made the acquisitions of IMG in 2011, we invested some co-investors, including IFC, JP Morgan, General Atlantic. And we have repurchased their share. What happened when they started? The idea is that they would launch an IPO that the company would make ahead. And that IPO, because of the situation that took place in 2015, the devaluation of the Colombian pesos and of other currencies in Latin America, because of the fall of the oil price, the IPO was not feasible. It was not an alternative easy to carry out or profitable. So obviously, when these funds, which are private equities, make an investment like this, they have an expectation of a return, which would be achieved with that IPO. While we couldn't make the IPO, we started to seek other mechanisms for these three investors. And it was, so basically we repurchased their share. And that share, which has been purchased from them all, really was made based on their expectations. So now we've completed with these three co-investors this process. They were the only ones that had a special contract with us, and with this recent acquisition, we have almost, Grupo Sura now has 84% of Sura Asset Management, and the other partners do not have intentions to leave, and the returns expected are not as high as those of the three that I've mentioned. So basically, that's why we repurchased from them. And the prices that were used for this purchase had to do with the expectations of returns that these partners had when they made the investment. We have a question from Vicente Navas, who's asking about the recent sanction against Forest in Mexico, which included Forest Sura, and the question is specifically about the amount of the sanction and the impact it had on the results. Well, this is an unfortunate situation that took place because of something that happened 3 years ago. In 2014, at a given time when the market was going through an active transfer war, unfortunately, some officers participated or had conversations with competitors to try to decrease the pace of the transfers. We perfectly understand that this is something that goes against the rules, free competition. So when we were called by the authorities, we collaborated in the investigation, and we've been following closely and meeting and trying to abide to the Mexican laws. This does not go with our principles at all, this type of practice. We reject them openly. So we've been working within the company to try to reinforce our principles of respecting the law and mainly free competition. This is a practice that we as a company do not approve. This is an event, as I said, unfortunate, but we assumed the responsibility, and we are supporting the authorities' investigations and reinforcing our principles in the company when it comes to managing the competition. The sanction, per se, the amount is confidential. But anyways, I'd like to say that we are undergoing an appeal, and until that this is not ruled, we cannot disclose this figure. We have a question from Juan Baitet. If we think that Suda Asset Management will be listed on a short-term basis. Not on a short-term basis. Listing a company is always an option, of course. And we've been in a process of strengthening the company. The company has had a great growth in assets under management. We've been working a lot to develop the voluntary segment, to balance the voluntary and the mandatory segments. And as always, we've been enhancing the company. Perhaps in the future, we think that the company is ready to be listed, but on a short, on a medium-term basis, we don't have it in our plans. Okay, with these answers then, we end our teleconference today. Again, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to be with us, and we wish you all a very good day. Thank you, everyone. This ends today's teleconference. If you want to listen to this conference again, it's available on the web page of the company soon. Thank you for attending. You may hang up now.